You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Here we are on another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Thursday. I'm your boy Q, at your boy Q254 on Twitter. And 9 times out of 10, you can usually reach me on Twitter. And I'll apologize to anyone who may have reached out to me on Wednesday on Twitter and it took me a long time to get back at you. Let me just give you a quick little background. And it has nothing to do with the Oakland Raiders, but let me give you a little quick background on what I had going on Wednesday. I was actually in Shenandoah, Texas. And before you say, what in the world is a Shenandoah? It's a place near Houston, because I didn't know either. I was like, where am I going? Shenandoah, Texas, for the Stag Bowl 46, which is the D3 National Championship game. Mount Union, who's going to be there, and they're actually called the Raiders. It's funny, they're the Mount Union Raiders, and then UMHB, the Crusaders, which is a team that I cover. They're from Belton, Texas. Anyway, they're going to be playing on Friday in the Stag Bowl, and it's for the National Championship. It's really, really cool. Anyway, they had a media day Wednesday, so I had to drive about 3 hours one way, drive 3 hours back, and it was just a crazy day, so I was kind of off the grid on Wednesday. So I apologize for anyone who might have reached out, tried to say what's up. I didn't really have an opportunity to hit you back on Twitter. But some real cool things did come out about this media day and also about this Stag Bowl that's going to happen on Friday that do have to do with the Oakland Raiders. It's going to be broadcasted on ESPN3, and former Oakland Raider linebacker, one of my favorite guys, number 52, before Khalil Mack was 52, Kirk Morrison was 52. He's going to be on the broadcast. It's going to be on ESPN3. Starts at 6 p.m. Central Time. Yeah, 6 p.m. Central Time. So on the West Coast, it would be 3 p.m. And 4 p.m. Yeah, 4 p.m. Anyway, don't let me do all the conversions for you right now. Either way, Kirk Morris is going to be on the call. And I am pretty cool with Kirk, so I'm going to try to link up with him, I think, on Friday, maybe Thursday. I think he gets in town on Thursday. So probably Thursday night, I'll try to link up with him. You know, get his thoughts, obviously, on the Stag Bowl. But I'm also going to try to get him on the podcast, give his thoughts on the Oakland Raiders. He is an Oakland guy, you know, so obviously want to talk to him about, you know, what he thinks about the city of Oakland suing the Raiders and basically this being their last year in Oakland. I just kind of want to get his thoughts. So I'm pretty excited that he's actually going to be on the broadcast. I've ran into Captain Kirk so many times, either it could be at Super Bowls, drafts, or whatever. But he's a real good dude. Really happy for him. He's doing a hell of a job as far as the broadcasting goes. And he had a nice little career with the Raiders, the Jaguars, and I think he had one of the Bills. So yeah, shout out to Kirk Morrison. I will run into him at some point. At the very least, I'll take a picture with him and shoot it out on Twitter at your boy Q254. But I just want to give you a little reasoning on why he did try to reach out to me on Wednesday on Twitter. I wasn't really available. So hopefully, like I said, Captain Kirk gets on the podcast and we can hear from him. I know Raider Nation, big fans of that. Big fans of his. Anyway, this game coming up with the Bengals. We're just a few days away now. Should be fun. It'll be an early kickoff, but still should be a fun game, a very winnable game for the Raiders. And I told you multiple times, I'm not going to change my mind. I'm rooting for wins. I'm not rooting for L's. I'm not rooting for draft spots, draft positioning. I want to see wins. Simple as that. So the Bengals aren't a very good team. It is a very winnable game. Marvin Lewis, he's probably going to be out by the end of the season. Hugh Jackson, he'll be on the sideline as well. You know, he's back with the Bengals. I mentioned that on Wednesday. And so the Raiders actually have an opportunity to beat him twice in one season. So that'd be kind of funny. So anyway, that's just a little bit on the game. We all kind of know what it is. Again, like I said, the Bengals aren't very good. The Raiders are getting a little bit better, looks like, each and every week. So going to be an exciting game, but it is an early kickoff, and you know how that goes. Those early West Coast kickoffs for the Raiders, a lot of times they don't play really well. But at the same time, I think it's a game that they can overcome that early kickoff and come away with the W. So hopefully that's what it is. Well, the biggest news that surrounded the Raiders that came out on Wednesday was that the NFL announced that the 2020 draft will be held in Las Vegas on the Vegas Strip. And look, I know that that's probably still a sore subject with a lot of Raider fans. Raider Nation is not all 100% accepted the fact that the team is moving to Vegas, especially the folks that live in the Bay, and I totally get it. Totally get it, especially after the city of Oakland sued them. And, you know, we don't have to rehash. We already know that this is most likely going to be the last season. Only one more game left in the city of Oakland. So, I know it's a very sore subject, so I'm not trying to rip that Band-Aid off right now, that scab. I'm not trying to do that. But that's the news that came out, and it's how it came out. They're going to have the draft in Vegas in 2020. It's not like it was a big shock. When Nashville was awarded the 2019 draft, I pretty much knew that meant Vegas was going to get the 2020 draft, which makes sense with the Raiders going into the city in 2020. Why wouldn't you have the draft there, right? And I'll tell you right now, not trying to rip the scab off when it comes to, you know, the Raiders leaving the Bay. I don't like it either, but it is what it is. We know where we're at this point. But from a guy, from a dude like me that's been to the draft in Chicago, been to the draft in Philly, been to the draft in Dallas. Actually, it was Arlington, but, you know, we call it Dallas. This year, I'll be at the one in Nashville. This Vegas draft experience in 2020 will be off the chain. I guarantee it's off the chain. Raider Nation, if you've never been to an NFL draft, you need to go. I'm telling you, if this is an opportunity, if you can be there, if you can get anywhere near there, regardless if you like the city or not, or like the fact that the Raiders are going to be playing there, you need to go to that draft if you have an opportunity. I'm telling you, man, if you're anywhere near that vicinity or just want to have an excuse to go to Vegas and you don't really want to see a Raider game, you can go to the draft. The draft is absolutely amazing. I'll tell you right now, for a guy, and I'm not bragging, but a guy who goes and covers the Super Bowl every year, I prefer to go to the draft every year than go to the Super Bowl. Now, look, as a greedy guy that I am, I'd rather do both. But I'm just saying, if I had to pick one or the other, hands down, I would pick the draft. So I'm just telling you right now, Raider Nation, if you have any kind of inkling that you would like to go to an NFL draft and you're not going to go to the one in Nashville in 2019, book it now. Book it right now to go to the one in Vegas in 2020. It's going to be a lot of fun. April 23rd through 25th. It's going to be on the Vegas Strip. I cannot wait. I'm telling you right now, I cannot wait. My mom, she actually lives in the 702, and she even said that, I can't wait till 2020, and it's not even 2019 yet. So I think that that's pretty funny. She's pretty fired up about it. So I'm telling you, it's a fun experience. You definitely want to be a part of it if you can. Just to get the whole NFL draft experience, you should do it at least once in your lifetime. All right, so that's enough on that. I've got a ton of calls that I still need to play off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. I'm going to do that in segment number two and in number three. I want to get them all in before the weekend. At least that's the goal. So coming up next, calls, your thoughts on a variety of subjects about the Raiders. But before I get into that, I got to tell you about Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. You can control your environment with Action Heat. It's perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who may work outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that just loves to be outside and hates being cold like me. I hate being cold. Don't want to be cold. So to stop that, you need Action Heat. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even drawers, like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm. You can stay cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. So right now, Action Heat has a special deal for all Locked On Raider podcast listeners. You can save up to 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty and stay warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And thank you so much for sponsoring the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, here we go. Locked On Raider podcast, segment number two on this Thursday edition. Your boy Q at your boy Q254. And of course, you know the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Got a lot of calls I got to get to, so I'm just going to try to get through them quick, fast, and in a hurry. Going to kick things off with my man P.E. in North Carolina. He's talking Derek Carr, and he's talking about Raider Nation, how they have that up-down love affair with him. And he also touches on Reggie McKenzie.
What's going on, Q? P.E. from North Carolina. Man, I've been sitting back listening to your show, and I've just been kind of hanging back, man, trying to think of a way that I can state what I'm about to say without being negative, because there's no reason to be negative. We won a game, and that's great. Derek Carr played great. But one thing about Raider Nation, man, everybody who has called this show and criticized Derek Carr in the past, myself included, we always make it a point when Derek Carr plays well, we always make it a point to call in and say, Derek Carr played a hell of a game. Props to Derek Carr, you know? And, you know, that's not being a hater or that's not being a detractor or that's not being negative towards Derek Carr. You know, what that is just that's a diehard fan base that, you know, when DC doesn't play good consistently, you know, then we criticize him for it, and rightfully so. If he had been playing consistently all of these years, there would not even be a need for the debate. So I just want to say that, you know, in Raider Nation, there are no Derek Carr haters or detractors or anti-Derek Carr people. We all want Derek Carr to do good. You know, that's not the point when we call and say what we say. That's not the point of it. You know, the point is that we want Derek to play good so we can be good. And when he plays good like he did Sunday, then we win. And that's what we want. And when he does play good, like I said, even though people criticize him, we make it a point to call in and say, hey, Derek Carr played well. Now, what we need is consistency. We need that Derek Carr that we saw Sunday. We need him going forward more often than not, you know. And if we have that, then maybe over the next, you know, 13 or 16 games, 19 games, whatever it is, until the end of next season, we won't even have to have this debate no more. So, you know, I just wanted to get that out there. But I will say I thought Derek Carr played really, really well. That's the Derek Carr that I want to see. That's the Derek Carr that I need to see. He made big plays when we needed him at that moment in that game, and he won the game for us. That's what we want. That's the Derek Carr we want to see. So that's all I want to say about Derek Carr, Q. Reggie McKenzie. You know, we bag on Reggie McKenzie for a bad draft, but did he draft those players? Or was that a Jack Del Rio and Ken Norton Jr. thing? Because they obviously wanted these in-between guys like Mario Ellis Jr. I think the defensive scheme that they were trying to run, they wanted those versatile players that they could play 3-technique or 5-technique or 5-technique or 9-technique or whatever. They wanted guys that they could switch around like that so they could you know, switch from 3-4 back to 4-3, like during a game or from week to week. And I think they reached on players and trying to find players to do that. So, you know, I like what Reggie did overall, man. He took us out of salary cap hell. He writes great contracts. You know, so talent evaluation, you know, like I said, I don't know. I don't know if that was Reggie or I don't know if he was getting the players that the coaching staff wanted. You know what I mean? So, anyway, man, I'm not going to take up no more of y'all's time. Enjoy the show, man, and peace out, Raider Nation.
Good stuff right there from P.E., but you know what? My man P.E., he hadn't called in a while, as you heard him say in that call. So he called back, had something real quick he wanted to speak on Mr. Talkative, a.k.a. Amari Cooper.
Yo, what up, Q? P.E. from North Carolina again. Hey, I wanted to say one more thing. Man, Amari Cooper, hey, that dude, he is almost banned from Raider Nation because he got one more thing to say, and then he is going to be banished from Raider Nation. I know we say once a Raider, always a Raider, but that dude keep talking, man. We're going to have to ban him from the nation. He can't come back. We can't even talk about him no more. Peace out, Raider Nation.
Two good calls right there from my man P.E. Definitely appreciate that. And Selena in the O.C., she reached out. She was calling about the Oakland news that I was talking about on Wednesday's show, how I was encouraging the fans to go because it will be the last game, or it looks like it's going to be the last game in Oakland, Christmas Eve. She's supportive of everyone in Raider Nation, wants them all to be there, including me. Well, she has good stuff, man. You got to hear this. Here's her call.
Hi, Q. Selena, O.C., calling in regarding the big Oakland news with the city of Oakland suing the NFL teams as well as the Raiders. And when you were talking about it on today's podcast, the Wednesday podcast, I was laughing because you started off saying, I can't go to the game, I can't go. Well, maybe I can go to the game. Anyways, I know you're encouraging Raider Nation to show up to that game. I just want to second that. I encourage everybody to try to go to that game because even if you can't get tickets, I know there was a surge in ticket prices last night once the news broke, but even if you can't go get tickets, if you even just show up for the tailgating, you know, you'll have the time of your life. And I think that it's really important to send them off. You know, the the fans in the Bay Area need it, and send them off in a good way, because I'm telling you, when they move to Vegas, there is no tailgating there. There's only 1,200 parking spots, which is only reserved for the suites. So tailgating will no longer exist, and this is their last chance. So I encourage you to go, too. I know it's tough, but I encourage you to go, and I encourage the nation to go, even if you can only show up for the tailgating, and send them off the right way. All right, guys, Raider Nation, have a good day. Bye.
Great stuff right there. Always love to hear from Selena in the OC. And, Selena, I'm going to do my best to try to get to that game. I got to talk it over with Mama Q and see what she wants to do, because if I'm going to go out and see the last Raider game, she's got to go out and see the last Raider game. So we might just have to make it a family affair thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'll let you know the update. I know we're only a couple weeks out from Christmas Eve. Now, I got a call from my man, Central Valley Raider. He's in the 559. That's actually the same area code as my cell phone. So it's almost like my brother that I don't know. He's calling midweek about the game, what he saw from the Steelers game, and what he saw from some key players, both offensively and defensively.
What's going on, Q? This is Central Valley Raider calling here from the 559. A couple things I just wanted to touch on this Steelers game. I know it's midweek. Haven't got a chance to shout out to you on Monday and Tuesday show. Doing a great job, by the way. The first thing I wanted to say was, is Gunther finally coming to realization that, hey, these are the guys I'm going to work with, and he's really starting to study what their strengths and weaknesses are? You know, losing Mac and, you know, getting rid of Irvin. Could those maybe have set him back by, okay, Now I got to really watch the film, and let's see what Joseph can and can't do. Let's see what Mora can and can't do. You know, Whitehead, et cetera. Because, you know, everybody's playing. They're playing good, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're not a top-10 defense, but everybody's stepping up. Secondly, same thing goes for Carr, Gruden, Ollie, all those guys in the offense. Is it now they're getting comfortable? Is Carr playing with a chip on his shoulder because of what Amari's saying? You know, all these things, I'm wondering if those have a impact on why we're winning. Either way, I'm excited that we're winning. Like, just like you, I'm really not looking for that first pick of the draft. I just want to build, man. I just want them to keep building off these wins and get to see what we have. We have a young group there. So that's all I got. Keep up the great work, man, and let's get this win at the Bengals. I'm out.
Good stuff right there from my man repping that 559. Keep holding it down, my man. And then to finish off segment number two today, going to go get my call from Victor in Cali. He called about the whole thing, the Raiders being sued by Oakland, and had some choice words for Mayor Libby Schaaf. Let's just say he's not a big fan of hers.
Hey, Q, Victor from Cali. Hey, just a couple thoughts on this lawsuit from Oakland. You know, Libby Schaaf, the mayor, is a complete idiot. She had all the chance in the world to strike a deal with Mark Davis in Oakland. She blew it because she's incompetent. And now, unfortunately, the Raiders have to leave Oakland because she couldn't do what Las Vegas is doing, what other cities have done, to attract a team, to keep a team. And now they're calling the Raiders a cartel. Complete travesty. Anyway, I don't know where Oakland's going to play next year, and I feel sorry for the Oakland fans, but I think Oakland should be looking at Libby Schaaf as the problem, not Mark Davis. I think she's a complete idiot. That's all I got to say.
All right, so there it was. Great stuff right there from Victor. Great stuff from Central Valley Raider in the 559, Selena in the OC, and, of course, a double call from my man P.E. in North Carolina. Great stuff right there, segment number two of this Locked On Raider podcast. Coming up in segment number three, yeah, man, I got some more calls, so keep it here. Well, you can't go nowhere anyway. It's a podcast. Ha-ha! It's the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we go. Closing out the Locked On Raider podcast, segment number 3 on this Thursday. You know how we get down. Your boy Q, at your boy Q254 on Twitter. And if I heard someone one time ask why my Twitter was at your boy Q254. 254 is just the area code. That's the area code that I live in. It's real, real simple. So just in case you were ever wondering, I heard someone ask me that, and I don't remember who it was. So I just want to go ahead and throw that out there. It's just the area code. No big deal. But it's not about me. It's about you. And I got some real good calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. 707-654-4693. Mario in Tucson, he actually called about Raider Nation being ranked 14th best fan base, something I spoke about on Friday, and he also wanted to talk about the game.
Q, Mario in Tucson. What's up, man? Well, I'll say the one thing, Raider Nation being the 14th best, you know, fan base in sports, yeah, I don't know where that came from. You know, everywhere Raider Nation goes, they're there. Raider Nation's everywhere. They're probably on Mars somewhere. I don't know. But, you know, back to the game. It was good to see the Raiders get a win, a well-deserved win, one that they had to go out there and earn. Yeah, the field played a little bit into it, but you know what? Both teams had to play on it, so I'm not even going to use that as a problem, an excuse. You know, besides that, Derek Carr looked good again. And, you know, he's the quarterback for the future. He's the guy. Just got to let him – he had to learn the offense a little bit better. He can't just get thrown into all these different offensive systems and, you know, succeed right away. So he had to, you know, figure his way through it, see what you can and cannot do. You know, and with the line play being the way it is, he just – you know, he had to figure out how to play with him. He looked mobile. He looked sharp. Yeah, he got sacked. So what? It's going to happen. But he looked a lot better. He looks like the quarterback that we need to have. Forget drafting one. We don't need one. We'll keep him. It's time to go, you know, work on other plays and fill up these other holes. Now, the defense, they did well enough. Again, like they did the week before against the Chiefs. But, you know, there's improvement. And improvement means signs of life, means we're on our way to getting better. And that's what I'm happy about. I'll take that anytime I can get it. But it's, again, nice to talk about a win. And the last thing I got to say is my wife is also a Steelers fan. So, you know, ride or die with me no matter what. But this is the clear time that me and her are on the same side. So I'm going to give myself – a dinner at the Cheesecake Factory since we won the game. Other than that, Q, peace to you, Raider Nation. I'm out.
Always good to hear from my man Mario in Tucson. He actually shot me a text message right after the game and was like, just win, baby, just win. We did it. It was lit. So it was awesome, man. Appreciate that, Mario. It's always good to, you know, interact with Raider Nation, man. That's just how we get down. Now, next call came from my man, most known unknown from Philly, calling about Reggie McKenzie and his dismissal from the team. Also, calling about guys who might be in line to fill that void. And then at the very end, wants to show some love to Vader Raider and all the Raider Nation.
Yo, Q, it's your boy, most known unknown, calling to address the not-so-breaking news. The Raiders officially let go Reggie McKenzie. We all saw this coming. Honestly, I believe that Reggie McKenzie is the one that really should be at the fore of the blame for having to trade Khalil Mack, and I'm going to tell you why. Had he to hit on a lot of those picks, like your Jahi Ward, your Obi Melifonwu, your Shalik Calhoun, et cetera, I believe there would have been enough talent around Mack to justify paying him what he wanted. The fact that he missed on all that talent, as well as failing to address the linebacker position, the Raiders' defensive roster was devoid of talent. So you look at it and say, how can we pay a guy that much when we have to rebuild the whole team because of all these missed draft picks? Now, granted, Reggie was very good with the cap. He did hit on some picks, but he missed on a whole lot of picks as well. Again, poor job addressing the linebacker position. I like Reggie. Wish him the best wherever he goes, but it had to be done. Now, moving forward, and by the way, Reggie's not all to blame for those picks. I believe he was working along with Jack Del Rio, and a lot of those guys were guys that he went out and got that Jack Del Rio wanted. But Jack Del Rio took the fall last year. It's Reggie's turn to take the fall this year. Moving forward, I'm hearing a lot of names. Bruce Allen, no. I will drive out to Oakland and post guard at the airport to keep that guy away from the Raiders facility. Another guy, Holmgren, not sure how I feel about that. The guy I would like, I don't know if we're going to get him, Lewis Riddick. I know Gruden has a history of covering the draft with him. So I don't know if their ESPN days working along, if that counts for anything. I think Lewis Riddick is a bright guy. I'd love to see him working with Gruden. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on who you think the next GM is going to be. And shout out to Vader Raider. It's all good, man. Just trying to get everybody to look at the big picture and all the elements on why our quarterback may not have been playing up to his level of capability at first. That's all. But shout out to you, bro. Shout out to UQ. Podcast is fire. Love everybody in Raider Nation. Let's go.
Great call right there from the most known unknown from Philly. And I think I've been very adamant about who I want in there. And I do like the Lewis Riddick. I like Lewis Riddick a lot. I would love to see him get in there with John Gruden and collaborate and, you know, try to build this roster back up. But man, oh man, I'm still holding out hope that somehow Scott McLuhan, and I know he's already been basically ruled out and he said that he's not part of that search or whatever. I still hope that somehow, some way they find a way to get Scott McLuhan to help put this roster back together. Because that dude is a G. And what I mean by G is genius. He gets it done. He is a player personnel dude. I mean, I don't know. Elliot Wolf could be another guy as well. I'd be fine with that. You know, he's got those Green Bay Packer ties. Those guys in that front office are really, really good. And you saw what the Browns did this year in the draft. They did a hell of a job. And so I wouldn't be mad at Elliot Wolf either. But man, Scott McLuhan is at the top of my wish list. Just going to go ahead and throw that out there. Now, my man, Akeem in Oakland. He's calling about the game and also is responding to what someone else had said, thought he was crazy for saying the Raiders need to draft a quarterback. Basically, he uses Amari Cooper and the Cowboys as his reasoning.
Hey, Steelers, I came out of Oakland. I called in right after the game, and I must say that it was about a 70-30 ratio. All Steelers fans, all terrible towels. It was just great being in that environment. That's upsetting them again that way. Absolutely amazing. I'm calling you because I just listened to the pod and I heard someone with a rebuttal to my drafting a new quarterback. Okay, fair enough. Our quarterback is, and our coach is helmed as a offensive genius. The Cowboys head coach is known as the clapper. All he say he does is stand on the sidelines and clap his hands. Dak Prescott is considered a middle of the pack okay quarterback. They have Amari Cooper looking like Antonio Brown, while our quote unquote offensive genius, offensive guru, coach, and our elite quarterback had Derek Carr, had Amari Cooper with about 50 to 60 receiving yards multiple times. I don't know. Let's leave that nugget there. Happy holidays, Raider Nation. Let's finish strong.
All right, it's time for my man Steven in Sacramento. He actually had to pause the podcast to call in and talk about Derek Carr and defend him and let it be known how he feels. It's a very strong call.
Hey, Q. It's Steven from Sacktown. I called before. I don't think you caught my name. No worries. Really loving the show. Hey, I had to actually pause the show to make this call because I gotta get this out. I am so tired of people going back and forth on Derek Carr. Oh, he's bad. Oh, wait, he had a good week. Give him props. I'll give him props now, and I'll get on him when he's bad. Sure, you know, hold a player responsible. But the bottom line is a quarterback position in the NFL, QB1, is the hardest position in sports to fill. The hardest. There are not 32 starting quarterbacks in the world right now. From the college field that's coming up, you know, and from the pool of quarterbacks available in free agency and on teams right now, there are not 32 starting quality NFL quarterbacks. So we have one who is. Now, does he have some faults sometimes? Yeah. Does he have a bad game sometimes? Yeah. Hey, so did Aaron Rodgers the other day. So get off Carr, embrace the fact that we do have that QB and realize that he's going to be around for the next 5 to 10 years. So we need to surround him with talent, and Gruden needs to adapt the playbook to him. And, yeah, he may not be Tom Brady, but there's one Tom Brady. And for the record, I can't stand Tom Brady, but statistically there is only one Tom Brady. So get off Carr. Stop going back and forth. Embrace him as the quarterback. Yeah, he's going to have bad games. And sure, give him a bad review when he has a bad game. But don't jump one week from the next to, we should trade him, we shouldn't trade him. We should get rid of him, we shouldn't get rid of him. How about that? You know, get out of this college, XYZ. Forget it. It's a hard position to fill. We have our quarterback. Move on. We're in a better position than a lot of teams. All right. Sorry for ranting.
I'm out. Love the show. Peace, Raider Nation.
Good stuff right there from my man Steven in Sacramento, the 916, holding it down. And sorry I didn't shout your name out before, and I know you said you ain't tripping, but I got to show that love, man. So my bad. Shout out to Steven one more time in the 916 in Sacramento. And let's finish things off in the 510 with my man Richard. He hit up that voicemail line to talk Reggie McKenzie, good, bad, and ugly. He's giving his overall assessment of Big Reg.
Hey, Q, this is Richard. I was just calling in talk about Reggie McKenzie. I think he did about as good a job, you know, as he could have. You know, he made some obvious mistakes. That he hired Dennis Allen, and Dennis Allen's plan for the offense was Greg Knapp. I think, you know, just speaks volumes about, you know, he was a first-time GM, and he made some big mistakes, and that one mistake really set him back. It tied one bad hand behind his back for the rest of his tenure there. Because then, after a couple years later, when Mark Davis hired Del Rio, not McKenzie, I believe Davis hired Del Rio. You know, McKenzie decision making power started slipping then. And you know, I like McKenzie, and I thought about, you know, one thing, though. I mean, of all the good things you can say about McKenzie, you look at his record, as you had mentioned, 39-70 over his you know, a little bit under 7 years. You know, in perspective, if I look at the previous 7 years before McKenzie, Al Davis as a GM had a record of 36 and like 76. So their win percentages were, I think McKenzie won 35-36% of his games, took him to one playoff. And Al Davis at his worst, you know, when he's, at his most dysfunctional self, you know, maybe some dementia is setting in there for him, you know, he had a 32% win percentage. So it just wasn't good enough. It was time to move on. There's a lot of good things Reggie did. I appreciate his time. He drafted Carr, Matt, Cooper, all those guys. So he laid the foundation for what's coming next, you know, directly, indirectly, whatever you want to say it. So. That's it. All right, man. You guys have a good week.
So there it is right there. Richard in the 510, Steven in Sacramento, Akeem in Oakland, most known unknown from Philly, and Mario in Tucson. Great calls right there in segment number 3. Great way to end the Thursday edition of the Locked On Raider podcast. Appreciate everyone who always chimes in. Appreciate everyone who supports the podcast. Sorry that it's been tripping on Spotify. I think I mentioned that on Wednesday, but apparently it's been tripping on Spotify a little bit, but it's still available on iTunes, and hopefully Spotify steps their game up and stops tripping like it has been. But ultimately, man, I appreciate everyone who supports the podcast. It's real important to me that, you know, we keep this thing going. We keep getting through this season together, and love all the responses. And again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart that you guys actually take your time to listen to what I got to yap about. So appreciate it. And we still got one more episode. We got Friday's edition coming up, and who knows what's in store, but we know we'll be talking some Raiders. That's all we know. So until next time, Raider Nation, just win, baby.